And friends, today we come to the end of our series, Releasing Spiritual Gifts. The gifts of the Spirit are essential for kingdom living and kingdom ministry. They are the very manifestations of the Holy Spirit, that is, the unveiling of God. The gifts give an outlet for the fruit of the Spirit to be expressed in a deeper way. Here's a question I think that's often asked. What's more important, the gifts of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit? And I find that often people respond to such a question with, well, the fruit, of course. But why would we try and dissect the gifts from the fruit? When you get a chance, you might want to look at Exodus 28, verse 33. It describes that around the hem of the high priest were pomegranates interspersed with bells. The pomegranates speak of the fruit of the Spirit and the bells, gifts of the Spirit. There is one Holy Spirit, and then there's the fruit, and there are the gifts. Think of this example. Someone is unwell and you come and you express love and mercy and express kindness in very helpful ways. And as you share the love of God with them, they need the powerful touch of the Holy Spirit to come on them and rid them of that which is not from the kingdom of God. They need the manifestation of the Spirit in power. And as they receive that, they will have a greater encounter of who God is in his love and in his mercy. We're actually told to covet spiritual gifts in Scripture. It is the only thing in the Word of God that you can covet without incurring the sin of covetousness. Just make sure you're coveting the gifts of the Spirit with the right motivation. We're kingdom people, and we want to be the Father's instruments in answering the Lord's prayer, bringing heaven to earth. The fruit and the gifts will bring forth a greater revelation of who God is. And so as we wrap up today, apart from our open forum next Sunday, just a reminder to send in your questions through this week. Let's look at what God the Holy Spirit has to say to us. 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 14, verse 1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Let me try and expand that verse in a very literal way. We, it's in the plural, it's like, use all, are commanded to pursue the love, strive for, that is, covet, be zealous for the spirituals, above all, more and more, to prophesy. Now, you don't need three PhDs to see that God puts a very big importance on prophecy. If you were watching SBS Food just on last Friday night, Rick Stein was on one of his long weekends. Can you hear the opening jingle for that great show? And on this trip, he was going to Thessaloniki, northeastern Greece, on the shores of the Aegean Sea. Exciting city, great food, beautiful vista on the shoreline. And the Apostle Paul wrote to a fledgling church made up of very, very new believers living in pagan Thessaloniki in the mid-first century. And as he wraps up his first letter, he gives them a list of 8 instructions, imperatives, if you like, in verses 16 to 22 of chapter 5. Here they are. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. It's so clear. We are commanded not to treat prophecies with derision, but to test them, discern from God. You see, when we reject prophecy, and indeed the present day work of the Spirit, we quench the Holy Spirit, and that is one terrible thing. So, what do you say in just one message about prophecy? I mean, the subject is broad, it's deep. I have participated in prophecy seminars that have been conducted weekly for a whole semester. To really dig into it, you need to roll up your sleeves and not only get lots of input, but also activation, considering areas like intimacy with the Father and hearing God. The difference between Old Testament prophets and New Testament prophecy and prophets. Delving into just simply that question, what is prophecy? And then thinking about the various ways that God communicates with us. How we receive prophecy, how we express it, how we discern prophetic words and false prophets. Looking at the seer gift, which is a subset of the prophecy gift. How we actually grow in our prophetic anointing. How we build a prophetic community and on and on. I would deeply love all of the Oak Tree community to roll up their sleeves in all of those areas. But relax, for now, for today, my aim is very simple. I want the whole church of Oak Tree at the end of this morning's worship to be super excited about the gift of prophecy and committed to really, really seek it, or if you have it, committed to growing in it. It is such a spiritually impacting gift. And I'll leave all the rest of it to the new incumbent. So, why is prophecy such a big deal? Let's start by defining it. I love this definition provided by an excellent teacher on the prophetic, a guy by the name of Sean Boltz. Here's what Sean writes. Prophecy is revelatory words about the present or future. By divine revelation, God's plans are revealed for a person, a place, or a situation. With prophecy, people's affections lie in the fact that God knows them and has plans for them. Knowing God's plans and future for their lives gives people the opportunity to partner with Him and to actually see those plans fulfilled. Simply put, prophecy is a love-based gift from the heart of God that pertains to the future context of a person, a place, or a thing. When you think about prophecy, think about future context. The Greek word for prophecy denotes two central ideas. One, forth-telling or speaking for God, and that's the dominant way that the gift manifests, and foretelling, the prediction or forecasting of present or future events. Prophecy is the expressed thoughts of God. The gift of prophecy comes through the mouth of a person, but comes from the mind and heart of God. They are spiritual thoughts in spiritual words. Prophecy is one of the strongest gifts that impacts every single person. And in this week's Church Bulletin, there's a terrific post entitled, Why Prophecy? I trust you've all read it by now. It's like, oh, wow, yes, the bulletin has just arrived in my email inbox. I'm getting right into it now. And in that article, the writer opens up with this question. Is all this prophetic talk just the chatter of bored believers and revival thrill seekers following some charismatic fad, or is there something else going on? It may not be surprising for you to hear me say this, but the gift of prophecy is not a hyped up fad. Rather, it's a gift that gives us powerful insight into God's heart. So, here are four reasons why prophecy is so very important to every believer. I'm just going to give some headlines. Read that post in the bulletin for more of the meat behind each of these reasons. Number one, purpose. Prophecy relates to some type of vision. It speaks into the deep longing of humanity for vision and purpose. We all hunger for vision and purpose. I remember that illustration given by Carolyn earlier in the service on the prophetic word that she gave to her friend that resulted in a book being written that clearly God wanted mums to read. So number one, purpose. Number two, identity. And when you think of identity, it is just such a crucial and critical issue in every person's life, that question, who am I? But for the one who has turned to Jesus, we are new creations in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. But our mind, which is still being transformed into the image of Christ, often tells us the opposite. Do you agree? So I love how identity was described in that post, Why Prophecy. The writer says, prophecy is like seeing and hearing how the hosts of heaven already view the new you. Just ask Gideon, who was hiding out in a wine press when the angel of the Lord showed up and called him a mighty warrior who would deliver his nation. Ask David, who wasn't even invited to the coronation party, but was anointed to be the next and arguably one of the greatest kings of Israel. The same is true for you. Your new creation in Christ Jesus is so wonderful and glorious that you are now capable of unimaginable good. Prophecy reveals this treasure of who you are now as a new creation in Christ Jesus. Isn't that fantastic? I wonder if you recall what Carolyn shared. True prophetic ministry looks for the gold in people's lives. It reveals the amazing person God created them to be. It's not pointing out someone's faults, shortcomings, or failure. God uses the gift of prophecy for someone to be more effective in their identity. Why should we just get so excited about this? Purpose, identity, thirdly, dignity. Hearing God speak into your life, either directly from him or through another believer, is just so powerful. It just always grabs me. It's like, oh, wow, the God of heaven and earth knows me. He loves me. He cares for me. This is real. I recall in my own life an extended time where the winds of the enemy were battering me. I felt gutted. And pretty frequently, I would call out to my Heavenly Father with words like this, Father, you need to speak to me. And sometimes the Lord would reveal secrets to me which were unseen, unknown in the physical realm as to what was going on. But most often what I would hear from the Father was, I love you. I love you. Rod, you are my beloved son. And my sense of dignity would be restored. And the word of God, the Logos, would become a rhema word as the Spirit would gently remind me, you have resurrection power indwelling you. Stand strong. Oh, friends, the gift of prophecy is such a powerful gift. Purpose, identity, dignity, And the fourth reason why we ought to just go, Lord, I so desire this gift, is destiny. Not only does God use the gift of prophecy for someone to be more effective in their identity, but also in his plans for them. As I was preparing this message, I was asking the Lord, how should I illustrate this fourth point, destiny? And as I was asking that, the Holy Spirit reminded me of the power of the prophetic in a Christian friend's life. The story goes back about 8 or more years. I remember I received a call from a ministry leader in the church that I was pastoring. They wanted to catch up for coffee. As we sat there in the cafe, I wonder if you remember what that is like. Well, anyway, as we sat there in the cafe, they shared how they had just been made redundant and they'd been told that while on an overseas business trip. And as they had flown back to Australia, the Lord spoke to them very clearly. They were told, call Rod, he'll tell you what to do. Now, when I heard that, I was blown away. It's like, wow, the Lord is obviously confident that in this matter, at least, I will hear him and properly prophesy over this dear child of God who's just received this bad news. And so without going through all the details, that's what I did. The person's business career took off in a new area and has continued to take off. But most importantly, this new career path has opened so many opportunities for them to bring Christian comfort to others in the workplace and speak for Jesus in high-level corporate settings. Friends, this is a powerful, powerful gift. God uses it to change atmospheres, to build momentum, to call life into people's lives. It's not looking at someone's life and discerning the dirt in their life or the dirt in society. As Chris Wotton said in a Facebook post, the prophetic gift is a heavenly positioning to strengthen, comfort, and encourage people in ways that go beyond our human abilities and sensibilities. It's gaining access to the eternal heart of God for others and deploying them into their divine destinies. The gift of prophecy reveals the heart of our Heavenly Father. It's the flow of God, God's loving heart towards us individually, to his church, and indeed the world around us. You see, it's not a gift to just be used within the walls of Oak Tree. It is an essential spiritual tool in us fulfilling God's call on us. Oak Tree within and beyond walls. I've just outlined 4 reasons: purpose, identity, dignity, destiny. To put some supercharging in your heart to zealously pursue this gift. And we shouldn't be surprised that such a powerful manifestation of the Holy Spirit has multiple purposes. I've listed these in the supplementary notes that have been emailed out. So all I'm going to do now is just hit them as headlines. But please take the time with your Bible open, dwell on each purpose, and talk to the Lord as you do so. So purposes of prophecy. Headlines. Number one, edification. We see it in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. God has provided this gift to edify, to build up the church. And note, prophecy is not only from the church to the church, it is also from the church to the unbeliever. Edification. Secondly, exhortation. Again, in 1 Corinthians 14, 3. God wants us to incite, encourage, advise, and warn earnestly. When you hear that word, one of the ways you'll know whether it's from God is whether it encourages you. edification, exhortation. Thirdly, comfort, also in that same verse. We're talking about the right kind of comfort from the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about self-comfort. A comfort where God knows your address and brings a soothing word to your soul. And what's the comfort? It is Christ speaking in very personal concern, tenderness, and care to release the very presence of God into your even very troubled circumstances. So edification, exhortation, comfort, fourthly, to convict and convince, towards the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 24 to 25. This purpose is dealt with. And convince means to bring us into agreement with God, and for us to come into agreement with God, that actually starts by us being convicted. Fifthly, one of the purposes of prophecy is for instruction and learning. It's in verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 14. You see, as the revelatory gifts open the scriptures to us, great truth is seen and new understanding is opened up. It's like we read the word, the Holy Spirit breathes upon that word, and he turns the written word into a revelatory spoken rhema word. As James Gold says, the Bible is the only book that when you read it, it reads you. So edification, exhortation, comfort, conviction and convincing, instruction and learning. And sixthly, and very importantly, a testimony of and from Jesus. Flick in your Bibles to right to the end, the book of Revelation, and right towards the end of the book of Revelation, chapter 19, I want to quickly look at verse 10. In the midst of the extraordinary revelations the Apostle John was receiving on the island of Patmos, he was given the central issue of what authentic prophetic ministry is all about. Worship God. You see, worship God and you'll be walking in the opposite spirit of the world. And as you worship God, he will inhabit your praises. And the Holy Spirit's revelatory presence will be poured out. The true heart of the prophet is the testimony not of how great you are, but of how awesome he is. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So let me read Revelation 19, verse 10. The messenger had spoken to John. John had fallen at his feet. And then we read, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus. This is one of the most important purposes. I mentioned James Gold before. He has a powerful prophetic gifting and has written much on prophecy. And I love what he says about this purpose, a testimony of and from Jesus. James writes, do you want to release a contemporary expression of the testimony that Jesus is not dead but is alive? The purpose of prophecy is to release a testimony about this amazing man, Christ Jesus. In Revelation, Jesus is standing in the midst of his people to tell his works. One of the ways he does this is through the present day gift of prophecy. It's like Jesus is in our midst and raises his hand and says, I got something I want to say. And one of the things he wants us to know is, I am with you always. I'm not a God who is far off. Just call on me and I'll show you great and mighty things. So, six purposes that I've just sort of briefly outlined, and I've put those in those supplementary notes. And as well in those notes, there is a listing of the many different ways that prophecy can be received and the many ways that prophecy can be expressed. So please take the time and digest those. Why should we do that? Because every believer is called to eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, but especially prophecy. As we come to an end, I want to come to the aspect of prophetic words being used in a corporate sense. You see, the gift of prophecy is for individuals and also for groups of people. So I want to remind us of a prophetic word that was given to Oak Tree a few years ago. I wonder, for those who attended Camp Vention in 2019, do you recall Roy Brake's prophetic word over Oak Tree? This is what he said. Acorns are meant to be planted. What do oak trees produce? Acorns. What do acorns produce? Oak trees. Acorns are meant to be planted. You, people of Oak Tree Anglican, should plant an oak tree, not a wattle tree. Your planting comes out of the one tree, and you can plant the fruit that comes from where you are. Plant an acorn from your oak tree. You must nurture that small tree. It's not going to grow by itself. There will be an ongoing commitment to see this through. Grow under the covering of your oak tree. And then Pastor Roy prayed that mantle of church planting would come upon Oak Tree Anglican, together with an outreach heart that is not subject to fear. He prayed for it to be our understanding that, quote, in 10 years, Oak Tree is going to have 10 outreach churches dotted around this city, in Jesus' name, restoring the church. Wow. That is a prophetic word over this church, over Oak Tree. But it is a contingent word. Its fulfillment will require all of this fabulous church community to embrace it, to pray into it, to step out in faith, to keep developing as a word and spirit church, to totally embrace God the Holy Spirit and all, not just some, all of his manifestations, all the gifts. And we will need a consuming passion to make the name of Jesus famous throughout the southeastern region of Melbourne and far beyond. The gift of prophecy. So very, very powerful. And God the Holy Spirit speaks to everyone who's turned to the Lord Jesus in repentance and faith and says, go for it. Be zealous. Covet this. So let me invite you to join me in prayer as we wrap up this series on releasing spiritual gifts. Dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' glorious name, I earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, and especially that I might prophesy. We, Oak Tree Anglican Church, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, and especially that we might prophesy. Lord, teach us how to receive and release the gift of prophecy while walking in the wisdom ways of God. We want to nurture the prophetic spirit in our midst. God the Holy Spirit, we want to minister in the prophetic within the church as well as beyond the physical walls of Oak Tree. We want to be your vessels to touch the world with the heart of the Father. Lord God, give us the courage and vision to step out in faith and plant many acorns that grow into strong oak trees. We want the world to see and experience the love of Jesus. We love you, Lord, and thank you for giving us the gift of prophecy. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.